morning. Welcome to worship here at Glenshaw Valley. It's so good to see you this morning. I have a few announcements to share with everyone. The first is to remind nominating committee that we are going to have our first meeting of the year tomorrow at 7 o'clock. The meeting is going to be held via Zoom. So if you are on that committee and did not get the link for the meeting, let me know after church today. Next Sunday, October 4th, is World Communion Sunday. So we are going to plan to celebrate communion together that day. So please plan to come back next week for that. Those are all of the announcements I have. Does anyone else have any announcements to share? All right. Let us turn our attention to God with our call to worship. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our opening hymn, Knowing You. The lyrics will be on the screens.
Thank you.
me now in our prayer of confession. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been, help us amend what we are, and direct what we shall be, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Friends, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, let us take a moment this morning to greet our neighbors.
Morning.
Friends, let us quiet our hearts and our minds for our choir's anthem.
morning. Maybe now, in this age, more than any other age, it's wonderful to know that we have God as our refuge. Thank you. It's so nice to have the choir back. We have a prayer request from Kathy Segi this morning. Prayers for Tom Brucker, who is a close family member. And no, we are praying for Tom Brucker and his close family. He's a friend. Okay, he's a close family member. He has pneumonia and septic shock and has been on a respirator and is still in critical condition in Butler Memorial Hospital. So prayers for his healing. And I have a prayer request myself this week. I would ask for some prayers for Libs. She's had a little bit of a rough week, and she is not eating much, and she is sleeping about 23 and a half hours a day. So I just would ask for prayers for her. Thank you.
Let us pray. Loving God, through your Son, you have called us to repent of our sin, to believe the good news, and to celebrate the coming of your kingdom. Like Christ's apostles, may we hear his call to discipleship and, forsaking old ways, proclaim the gospel of new life to a broken world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, let us pray for our concerns. Lord, we pray that you attend to the sick and bring them healing. This morning we lift up to you, Lord, Tom and Libs. We ask you to strengthen those who face particular challenges. Lord, this morning we lift up to you all of the caregivers who are unable to be with family members that are having surgery, who are in nursing homes, who are having babies. Lord, we pray that during this strange and difficult time, that they would be able to be reunited with their loved ones soon. Lord, we continue to pray for our world. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done. Lord, we continue to pray for a coronavirus treatment and vaccine. We continue to ask your guidance and assistance to our brothers and sisters in the South and in the West as they are dealing with the after effects of wildfires and hurricanes. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. Lord God of the nations, you have revealed your will to all people and promised us your saving help. May we hear, but may we also do what you command, that the darkness may be overcome by the power of your light. This we ask through Christ our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, let us quiet our hearts and our minds for our offertory.
Thank you.
Let us give thanks to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you continue to bless us abundantly. We pray that we would use these gifts for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
The scripture for today is from Matthew 21. Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. "By what authority are you doing these things?" they asked. "And who gave you this authority?" Jesus replied, "I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or of human origin?" They discussed it among themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." Then he said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work today in the vineyard.' 'I will not,' he answered, but later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, 'I will, sir,' but he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted?" "The first," they answered. Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." The word of the Lord.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Halloween is a big deal in my family. On Halloween, we all gather at my sister and my brother-in-law's house. We all come decked out in our favorite Halloween sweater, some thermal leggings, and Yetis filled with hot tea or cocoa. When it's time to trick or treat, my sister and I set up a table at the end of her driveway where we set up the snacks we're gonna give the kids. While my brother-in-law, dressed like an axe murderer, crouches behind his truck and jumps out and scares the crap out of the kids when they come and get their candy. But we're not quite sure what Halloween is gonna look like this year. This past week, my sister sent me a link to an article that the Center for Disease Control wrote, the CDC, releasing guidelines for how we're supposed to celebrate a safe Halloween. I gotta be honest, these recommendations are a little bit of a bummer. They're recommending no Halloween parties, no trick-or-treating, no Halloween costume parades. If a community does decide to trick-or-treat, they're encouraging homeowners to leave their candy at the end of the driveway, preferably in a bowl next to a bottle of hand sanitizer. They're also encouraging all of the kiddos and their grown-ups to wear masks when they go trick-or-treating. I can just picture a little Elsa having a tantrum because her mask does not go with her Elsa costume. So as you can imagine, my family and I are having very intense conversations about what we're gonna do for Halloween this year. And these conversations range from not doing anything for Halloween to doing Halloween like we've done it in years past. What's really interesting to me about these conversations that we're having is I think we actually agree on a lot. We all want to keep our community safe. We all want to do what we can to give our kids as kiddos as normal as possible of a Halloween this year. 6 months into this pandemic, everyone is tired of being told how we're to live our lives. But we still don't have a proven treatment or a vaccine for COVID-19. And we don't want to do anything that's going to spark a public health crisis in our neighborhood. It was interesting. At some point this week, as we were kind of going back and forth about what we were doing, I realized that we weren't having an argument about Halloween at all. We were having an argument about the role of authority in our lives. Do we trust the authority of the CDC to keep our communities safe? Or do we think we know what's best? This tension of what authority we put our trust in would have been a familiar one for the elders and the chief priests in today's scripture reading. See, the reason that the elders and the chief priests confront Jesus is because for them, authority comes only from scripture, particularly from the laws of the Old Testament, and from the temple or the church. And here Jesus is claiming that his authority comes from God. So they see Jesus as a direct threat to the authority of the temple, and this cannot stand. So the first thing that they do is they try to publicly humiliate Jesus. They ask Jesus, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Now, as Jesus is frequently doing in the New Testament, he doesn't directly answer their question, but instead asks them a question of his own. He says, "John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or from human origins? If you answer my question, I'll tell you by what authority am I doing these things?" Jesus' question puts the chief priests and the elders in this impossible situation. If they say that John's baptism came from heaven, then they kind of open the door for Jesus to ask them, "Well, if John's baptism was legitimate, why don't you trust his authority?" But if they say that John's baptism was from human origins or illegitimate, they risk creating a riot by the crowd that has gathered there that day, who is quite loyal to John. So the chief priests and the elders take the easy way out. They say, "I don't know." What they're doing when they say this is they're publicly saying that Jesus has won. Jesus has won the argument. But really, they're conceding that they have been outsmarted by Jesus. And the dishonor that they feel as a result of being publicly humiliated by Jesus is what's going to set the stage for Jesus's crucifixion. The chief priests and the elders just cannot tolerate this challenge to their authority. So eventually, they're going to kill Jesus to protect their power within this community. Now, throughout history, we see many, many examples of people removing people in power because they don't like how they challenge the status quo. But during this pandemic, I've seen this desire to eliminate threats to the status quo play out a little bit more on the local level. I'm watching it the day after the school board has a really heated vote about when or how they're going to send the kids back to school, and school board members are receiving dozens of very angry and nasty emails. I'm seeing this play out at grocery stores when somebody starts screaming at a grocery store employee because that employee said their mask has to cover their nose and their mouth. And don't even get me started on the protests and the riots and the name-calling and the Facebook attacks over people protesting stay-at-home orders or county mitigation efforts. Friends, I think our scripture reading for today teaches us that challenging or questioning authority is actually a normal and perhaps helpful part of living in community with one another. None of us is Jesus. That means I don't think any one of us has all of the answers on how we are to organize our life together, so that we can more faithfully get in on what God is doing in our midst. We need one another, and we need our various opinions to chart the best path forward. But as we learned 2 weeks ago with the parable of the unmerciful servant, conflict can't exist within community without forgiveness. What Jesus means by this is that in community, we're not always going to get our way, not always going to win arguments. Sometimes our leaders are going to vote to go in a different direction than maybe we would prefer. And when this happens, this is an opportunity for us to practice the spiritual discipline of forgiveness and not give in to the temptation for revenge. Now, friends, I know at this point in the pandemic, we're all tired. We're all at the end of our rope. None of us are always behaving as our best selves. We're all operating from our stressed out, anxious, frustrated selves. I think these are very normal things to be feeling 6 months in to a global health crisis. But I think Jesus has good news for us today. Jesus's advice for us during these seasons of extreme stress is to avoid what I'm calling the nuclear option. Don't make a bad situation worse by saying or by doing something you can't take back. For example, Jesus, being Jesus, could have very easily gotten rid of the elders and the chief priests and their pesky questions and installed himself as chief priest of the temple. Instead, if you keep reading in Matthew, you will see that he tries to work with the priests and the elders, listens to them, and even when he corrects them, it's done to show them that there is a different way forward. And he does this up until his moment when he draws his last breath. Friends, I'm wondering if maybe you had a moment this week where you chose the nuclear option, where you sent that nasty email to your kid's teacher when Zoom froze for the third time that morning, or when you said, well, if this is what Halloween is going to be this year, I'm just not going to do anything anyway. If you did, own it and apologize. Your apology may not undo the damage you caused, but it is an important and necessary first step. Some of us in this past week were on the receiving end of someone else's nuclear option, and this is an opportunity for us to practice forgiveness. Not because we want to excuse the other person's bad behavior, but by forgiving the other person, we free ourselves from having to carry around that hurt with us, and hopefully not take our hurt and use it to hurt someone else. I do think it's important to take a moment on, you know, kind of the 6 month anniversary of this pandemic to speak a word of encouragement. I want all of us to take a moment and look back over how far we have come in the last 6 months. 6 months into this pandemic, we have a better understanding of what this disease is, how it spreads, and what steps we can take to protect ourselves. All of us sitting in this room today have learned new technology, new way of shopping for our groceries, and new ways of connecting with one another when we can't always be physically present. If you take nothing else away from the last 6 months, I hope you take away that we can do hard things and that we will get through this together. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, at this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our closing hymn, Faith of Our Fathers. We're going to sing verses 1 and 4. Say a word of blessing as we prepare to go from this place. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has a plan and God has a purpose to you being there. Christ who dwells in you has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.
Amen.